if you could turn to Joshua and Joshua chapter 5. The reading is significantly less than it was this morning. It's Joshua chapter 5, but not the whole of the chapter. It's Joshua 5, verses 13 to 15. Just three verses this evening. I just want to focus our attention, focus our hearts and minds around these three verses. Joshua chapter 5, and reading from verse 13. Joshua 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" In verse 15, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. The title of my sermon is Confidence in the Lord in the Battles That We Face. Confidence in the Lord in the Battles That We Face. Just to give a little context to what we've just read, after the death of Moses, God had called on Joshua to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River and take possession of the promised land. The Lord had made great promises to Joshua that he would be able to go into the land, no one would stop him taking the land, and he would be successful in everything that he did. The challenge set before Joshua was to take the land of Canaan, the promised land. And the first challenge that Joshua had to face was the Battle of Jericho, a very familiar story, I am sure, to all of us. And that was no small challenge. Jericho, as we know, was at the heartland of Canaan, the promised land. And in order to take the promised land, you needed to take Jericho. So that was the first challenge that Joshua had to face. And that was not an easy challenge. Because as we know, Jericho was known and was a huge military fortress. It was virtually impregnable. It was, in a sense, an impossible task, humanly speaking. The walls, those famous Jericho walls, were tall, and they were so thick that chariots could travel on top of them. It was virtually impregnable. And that was the task set before Joshua. Take that city and destroy it. And that was a huge challenge that he faced. So here we find Joshua in chapter 5 of verse 13. And we find him alone. Eyes fixed on the ground. Alone. Sometimes when we face challenges in life, sometimes when we face struggles in life, that's exactly how we feel, isn't it? Alone. We have people around us, sure. We maybe have friends, we maybe have family members around us, but sometimes when we face battles, when we face challenges, when we go through struggles in the Christian journey, sometimes we feel very much alone. And here we find Joshua in that position of being alone. Now, I don't know what was in Joshua's mind at this time, but Joshua was a leader. He was a military strategist, so I suspect that was on his mind was the battle ahead. I suspect that what was in Joshua's mind was the various tactics and strategies that he had to adopt in order to be successful in the challenge that was set before him. That would seem to be the case, and I suspect that was the case. He was thinking and pondering and wondering as he stood there on his own. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Battles are part of the Christian journey. And I suspect, and I know, I am sure, that there are many in this room who are in a battle right now. Someone once said, you're either going into a battle, you're either in a battle, or you're coming out of a battle. And we are all, to one extent or another, to one degree or another, to one time or another, in a battle. That's part of the Christian journey. It is inevitable, it is predictable, it is promised. If you're wondering why this evening, why am I going through this struggle? Why am I going through this time of suffering? It's because you're on the Christian journey. And that's part of the journey that we have to be on. And that was the journey that Joshua was on. He was facing great challenges in his life and great battles in his life. And some of the battles that we face can be quite frightening, can't they? They can involve pain. They can involve illness. They can involve loss. Some of the battles are not only frightening, but they can be very complex. Complex business problems, complex relationship problems. Perhaps you're in a complex problem today. Perhaps in business. And it's such is its complexity that you couldn't even begin to explain to the person beside you or behind you or in front of you what that problem is. It's just so complex. It's overwhelming you. And you really can't talk to anyone about it. And you feel alone. Sometimes those challenges and battles that we face, they can be short battles. I don't know about you, but I like my battles short. A week does me. But sometimes it's not a week. Sure, it's not. Sometimes it's 6 weeks. Sometimes it's 6 months. Sometimes it just goes on and on. And maybe you're here and you've been in a battle for years. Whatever that battle is. And maybe you this evening are here this evening and you're facing a battle and you're, like Joshua, unsure what to do. Maybe you're asking yourself, maybe you're pondering just before the battle, how am I going to get through this? These huge walls that I've got to face. These huge challenges I've got to deal with. This illness, this complex business problem, this deteriorating relationship, this sin that has gripped me for years. How am I going to face this challenge? These huge, impregnable walls. How am I going to deal with them? Just like Joshua. Well, I want to encourage you this evening that you can have confidence in the Lord tonight in the challenges that you face. You can have confidence in the Lord tonight in the challenges that you face. The first reason from the text that we've just read, we can have confidence in the Lord this evening in the challenges that we face because firstly, the Lord is always with us. The Lord is always with us. If you turn to verse 13, in the chapter that we've read, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua has got his eyes fixed on the ground. He's alone. And then suddenly, a man appears. Joshua looks up. Now, Joshua at this point is not aware it's the Lord. We know that by his response when he said, are you on our side or are you on the side of the enemy? He wouldn't have said that if he knew it was the Lord. So this man appears, this great warrior appears before Joshua, and Joshua doesn't know at this point that it's the Lord, but the Lord is with him. He doesn't know it. He doesn't sense it. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't know that it's the Lord, but the Lord is with him. The Lord is in the midst. And why is the Lord in the midst? Why is the Lord with Joshua? Because God promised Joshua that he would be with him. You don't need to turn to it, but Joshua 1 verse 18, the Lord says to Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord promised to be with Joshua. And with Joshua, he was. Joshua didn't feel it. He didn't experience it. He didn't know it. He didn't sense it, but the Lord was with him. You know, sometimes we don't feel God's presence. We know in a theological sense that he is there, that he's omnipresent. We know that. But we don't feel his presence. We don't sense his presence. But the Lord is there, and the Lord is with you. And maybe you need to hear that tonight. In fact, I know that there are some in this room tonight that need to hear that because the Lord has given you this message. And you need to hear that the Lord is there. He's with you. The Lord is near. And he is close to you. And his hand is upon you, just like Joshua. You may not feel it. You may not sense it. But the Lord is with you. So you can have confidence in the Lord tonight because the Lord is with you always. Isaiah 41 verse 10. You know what we talked about this morning? That it is good to turn to the Word of God. It is good to turn to the Lord. It is good to draw near to Him. To encourage us all to get back to that time of communion with the Lord and daily devotion with Him through His Word, because it's so good for us. Well, here's a verse that is good for you and it's good for me. So the Lord's speaking to you this evening through His Word. Isaiah 41 verse 10. And this is a message for someone in this room tonight, if not more. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a wonderful verse to go home with tonight if you're facing a challenge, if you're in the middle of a struggle, if you're finding life difficult. Do not fear, the Lord says to you tonight. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, a good Christian friend of mine recently said to me, you know, it's a pity, isn't it, that we didn't live during the times of the Lord Jesus. Because Christians then had an advantage over us. They were able to see the Lord. They were able to touch the Lord. They were able to feel the Lord. They were able to hear the Lord. They were able to see Him tangibly. We can't see Him tangibly. They were able to see Him tangibly. And they had an advantage over us. And I could understand the sentiment to a degree. But would you hear what the Lord says about that? John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, the Lord says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. The Holy Spirit has been sent to you. Lord Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go, because if I do not go, I cannot send Him to you, but if I do depart, I will send you the Holy Spirit to dwell in you permanently. So if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, not just from one time or another during your life. He dwells within you permanently, giving you strength and courage and peace and joy. But you've got to draw near to Him. You've got to draw near. You've got to commune with the Lord, as we were saying this morning, to receive those spiritual blessings. But make no mistake, the Holy Spirit dwells within us permanently, enabling us to live for the Lord, giving us peace, assurance, and joy, even in times of trial. Be assured this evening, the Lord is with you, and He is upholding you with His righteous right hand. Secondly, we can have confidence in the Lord because the Lord will give us courage always. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for our adversaries? Verse 13, just the end of verse 13. Joshua went to him and said, are you for our adversaries? I think this is an interesting verse because if you really think about it, Joshua's on his own, eyes fixed on the ground, pondering the battle ahead, and then all of a sudden, this huge, majestic warrior appears out of nowhere. Now, if a huge, majestic warrior appeared out of nowhere into this building tonight with a sword drawn, what would you do? Well, I know what I would do. I would leave yous all to it and be heading out the door. Think about it. And yet, what does Joshua do? Does he turn on his heels and run? No. He confronts him and says, are you for us or for our adversaries? Wow. What strength, what courage. This warrior with a sword pointed like that towards him. And yet Joshua looks at him and says, are you for us or for our adversaries? Joshua was sussing him out. If you're on the side of the enemy, if you're on our side, I'll entertain you. But if you're on the side of the enemy, I'll go to battle with you. What confidence, what strength that Joshua has. It's not human. It's not normal. It's not natural. Where did he get that from? And again, we see very clearly, again, no need to turn to it, but Joshua 1 verse 9. Here's where he got it. He got it from the Lord. Because in Joshua 1 and verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, Joshua. God give him the strength and the courage to face the challenges and battles of tomorrow. And God will give you the strength and courage to face the challenges and battles of tomorrow. You might be thinking, sitting here right now, that's impossible. Well, that's exactly what Joshua thought. It's impossible. But as we know, with God, all things are possible. And you can have confidence in this, that he will give you the strength and courage you need to face tomorrow. Hasn't he given it to you in the past? And he will give it to you in the future. Paul, writing to his protege, Timothy, wanting to encourage his young spiritual son, knowing that Timothy at times would be fearful, would be timid, he says this, and he says this to us through God's word, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Don't be frightened, Timothy. You have strength and you have power from the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." God will give us strength. God will give you strength, courage, and power to face those challenges, those huge walls that you face. Be confident in him, because he will give you everything that you need. Put in your faith in the Lord, and he will strengthen you. Thirdly, we can have confidence in the Lord because he is always there. We can have confidence in the Lord because he will give us strength and courage. And thirdly, there's 4 points, by the way, just in case anyone's worried. Thirdly, the Lord, we can have confidence in the Lord because the Lord is in control. The Lord is in control. What's the Lord's response in verse 14? The Lord says this. Joshua has asked him the question, "Are you on our side or the side of the adversaries?" And what does the Lord say? He says, "No." No. What a strange response. He didn't say one or the other. He just says no. I think in some translations it might say neither. No, the Lord says. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And what is the Lord saying to Joshua? He's saying this. Joshua, it's not, am I in charge of your army or am I in charge of that army? Let me assure you, Joshua, I'm in charge of not just one army or two armies. I'm in charge of every army. I'm in charge of every country. I am in charge of every continent. I am in charge and I'm sovereign over this whole world, Joshua. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I have now come. I'm the God of this universe, Joshua. I am the sovereign God. And it is not so much, Joshua, what side am I on? What side are you on? What side are you on, Joshua? Are you on the side of the Lord, the victory side? Are you on the side of the enemy, the defeated side? And let me put that question to everyone in this room. What side are you on? Are you on the victory side where you're putting your trust in the Lord and in the Lord alone for your salvation? Are you on another side, the side of the enemy? I have to tell you this, there are not three sides, there are only two. There's not a third side of good works, a third side of turning up to church and going through the motions and eventually somehow getting to heaven by doing good deeds. There's not another side. There are two sides. You either are in the side of the Lord, in the Lord's army, following the Lord, recognizing him as God and sovereign over your life, or you're on the side of the enemy. What side are you on this evening? And if next week is your last battle, what side are you on? Because if you're on the side of the enemy this evening, and you need to hear this, if you're outside of Christ, if you're on the side of the enemy, it will not just end in a temporary defeat. It will be an eternal defeat. It will be eternal in nature. It will be eternal destruction. Somebody might say to me, say tonight in their mind, consciously or subconsciously, "Philip, I've heard it all before. Been here, I've sat where I've sat, I've heard this from this pulpit many, many times. If next week is your last week, then you'll end up in a lost eternity." And you know what? I've heard that message many times, and I'm still here. I will wait sometime later on to to make that decision to come onto the winning victory side. And I want to caution you, if that's your strategy, if that's your tactic, wait a little bit longer to get onto the victory side. I want to caution you, and I want to caution you with a personal story. That's not easy to tell. Earlier on this year, my cousin Emily, was 28 years old, and she was a high flyer. She was working in a big accountancy practice in London, and she wanted to take a few days off for a break. So she took a break and went over to Rome. And she was walking the streets of Rome one day, just enjoying the sunshine, and suddenly she came very, very ill. And she moved from side to side. People thought she was drunk, but she wasn't drunk. She was very, very ill. And she had to, on her own, get into a taxi, and that taxi took her to the hospital. She knew she wasn't good, so she rang, or was able to ring her mother. And my aunt and uncle drove to Dublin and then got a flight from Dublin to Rome. Within about 24 hours of them arriving and being with Emily, my cousin, Emily went to be with the Lord. But Emily, my cousin, even though she faced her last battle earlier on this year, she was victorious because she was on the side of Christ. She was in the Lord. She was on the victory side. And let me warn you through Scripture, and I warn you in love. Next week, if this next week is your last battle and you're not on the Lord's side, let me tell you, there is no return. You will face eternal defeat. You will face eternal destruction. And if every single person in this room has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, but I can guarantee you, you know somebody who is outside of Christ. And they need to hear the message of the gospel. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. Whoever it is, you need to tell them. Because next week could be their last. And I encourage us all tonight to be passionate in our presentation of the gospel at every opportunity. But if there's someone here this evening who do not yet know the Lord as their own personal Savior, I would encourage you tonight to turn to Him. Turn to the one who is victorious, and in Christ you will be on the victory side. The Lord is in control, and He is sovereign. How does that make you feel this evening when you think that about the Lord being in control of your life, of being in the Lord's hands? Maybe you need to hear that this evening, that you are in God's hands, and He will never let you go. He is in control. He is sovereign. How does that make you feel when you hear that? Sometimes I think, you know, when we hear messages like that from sermons, what happens when we hear something like God's sovereignty, or that God is in control, or that God loves us, sometimes it kind of gives us an emotional lift, doesn't it? It makes us feel better to hear it. It's a bit like an energy drink. Has anybody ever had an energy drink here? Nobody's ever had an energy drink. Nobody eats pizza and nobody has energy drinks. What sort of church is this? I am sure there are people here who have had an energy drink. But what an energy drink does, as we know, if you're feeling a bit low, it gives you a boost, doesn't it? And this isn't a bit of advertising. I know there's an energy drink out there called Boost, but it gives you a boost. It gives you a lift. But as we know with energy drinks, and they're non-alcoholic, don't worry about it. As we know with energy drinks, after a couple of hours, that lift that you've been given, you start to go down a wee bit. And you start to return to your present state. It gives you a boost, but like a cup of tea or coffee. It gives you a boost, and then you go back down again. And I think sometimes we treat sermons and certain messages from the Word of God like spiritual energy drinks. It gives us a bit of a lift. It gives us a bit of a boost. And then kind of by Sunday evening, it kind of has worn off a bit. By Monday, it's worn off completely. And by Wednesday, we've completely forgotten about the message. And if somebody was to say, what was preached on Sunday? Couldn't remember. We get a lift. And then it goes down again. And we wondered ourselves, why are these sermons that I'm listening to not making a real tangible impact on my Christian walk? And I think it's because both myself and you, we sometimes treat them like spiritual energy drinks. They give us a lift. And when we hear about the Lord being in control, what does the Lord want us to do? Does he want us to be lifted emotionally? Does he want us to be lifted up? Or does he want us to respond in the way Joshua responded to the Lord's sovereignty? Joshua wasn't lifted. Joshua was lowered. He lowered down and submitted himself to the sovereignty of God. And that made the radical change in his life. He submitted himself to God's control. He submitted himself to God's sovereignty. He didn't lift himself up emotionally. He was lowered down and submitted his entire life to the control of the Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? Was his cry. And I think that's what we need to do in the week ahead, in the months ahead, in the years ahead. We don't need to be lifted. We need to be lowered and submit our lives, every aspect of our lives, to the sovereign control of the Lord. All those things that we have held on to, we need to give them all to the Lord and bring everything before the Lord in prayer. Submit our lives in total to his sovereign control. And there we will find a radical change in our Christian experience. The Lord is in control. We can have confidence in the Lord in the battles that we face because he is always in control. And let us submit to that control in every aspect of our lives. Fourthly and finally, we can have confidence in the Lord this evening because the Lord will always guide us. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. This is verse 14. And worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" In verse 15, and the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Right at the very beginning of our sermon this morning, or this evening, we find Joshua on his own wondering what to do. And now we see Joshua turning to the Lord, looking up at the Lord and saying, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? And I will do it." And he does it. Sometimes the world will tell us that leadership is all about self-belief. You know, young people, you'll hear this in graduation days in college and in university. People will stand up and they will tell you, you know, the secret of success in life is self-belief. Believe in yourself and you'll do great things. Self-confidence, that's where it's at. You can be successful in everything and you can do anything you want if you only were to believe in yourself and have confidence in yourself. Let me tell you, if you hear that, it's a lie. It's a deception. Leadership, success in the Christian journey is not about self-belief. It's not about self-confidence. It's about humility. And Joshua is showing great humility. Because if you think about it, if you have humility, what are you going to always do? You're going to always ask for help. If you've got self-belief, you're never going to think you need any help. But if you have humility, you're going to ask for help. In other words, you're going to come before the Lord and pray. If you have humility, you'll recognize your weaknesses and rely on the one who is stronger and lean on the one who is stronger, the Lord. If you don't have humility, you won't do that. If you have humility, you will ask for help. If you have humility, you will rely on the Lord's strength. If you have humility, you'll recognize your weaknesses and know a God who can compensate for those weaknesses and strengthen you. Leadership isn't about self-belief. Success in the Christian journey is not about self-belief. It's about humility. And Joshua shows humility here, seeking out the Lord to guide him and help him and lead him. Remember David in Psalm 25, you know, where he's really just at the end of himself and he's being pursued by Absalom and you know, he's tried many tracks himself in his own human wisdom and he's just done with that. And in Psalm 25, he says to the Lord, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." That's where David's at in Psalm 25. Show me, lead me, teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. What about incorporate that into our prayer life in the days and weeks ahead? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Psalm 25. And he says, he reminds us in verse 9, humility is not just something I made up. Psalm 25, verse 9, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Humility is what we need to pray for as a people, as a church. So the Lord will guide us, and the Lord will teach us, and the Lord will lead us and show us his ways. Maybe this evening you're thinking to yourself, you know, those ways aren't easy. Those paths we're finding it hard. Maybe this evening you're saying, that's all very well, Philip, but you know, I am being led by the Lord, but I'm being led into some serious valleys here. I'm led into some serious challenges. I'm facing many walls in my life, many struggles, many difficulties. I am asking why. I am wondering. I do find what I'm in the middle of here hard to get to grips with, hard to understand. Well, let me encourage you by another verse in Psalm 25. And I think it's Psalm 25 and verse 10. And it's this, concerning the paths that you're on and concerning the plans that the Lord has for you. As challenging, as difficult as they may well be at this point, it's this, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Or another translation, all the paths of the Lord are loving and faithful. The paths that you are on are chosen by God. They are for your good, and they are loving and faithful. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God. He is a God who is doing everything and working everything, as Paul reminds us in Romans, for our good, to bring us to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all for our good. And remember, those challenges, those difficulties, those sufferings, those struggles that you're going through, all the paths of the Lord for you and for me are mercy and truth, are loving and faithful. So as I close tonight, I want us all, by God's grace, to have confidence in the Lord tonight. Maybe you've maybe up till now, recently, you've been putting a lot of confidence in yourself. You've been putting a lot of confidence in others. You've been putting confidence in human means and human activity. And that's natural and that's normal and that can happen. And we all do it. But like David, put that to the side and put your confidence in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord in the battles that you face. Joshua did. And Joshua was successful. We put confidence in the Lord, or we can have confidence in the Lord this evening, because the Lord will always be with us. He's promised that, hasn't he? He's promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He's promised us through his word that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So we can have confidence this evening that the Lord is with us. We may not know it, we may not experience it, we may not feel it, but let me assure you tonight that the Lord is with you. And we can have confidence in the Lord tonight. Just as God gave Joshua strength, he will give us strength and courage to face those walls, to face those challenges that we face. He will give us everything that we need, all the strength that we need, all the courage that we need, if we call on those spiritual blessings we talked about this morning. And we can have confidence in the Lord this evening, not only because he's always with us, because he will strengthen us, but because he is in control. And our response, don't be lifted up tonight, but be Lord. Be Lord and get down on our knees and submit our lives in its totality to the sovereignty of God in our lives, bringing everything before him. And in the path that you're heading out to, as you walk out this door, remember that the Lord will guide you. But he guides us through humility. So we need to pray for humility. We need to pray as David prayed, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Let's be led by the Lord tonight. Let's be guided by him. Human wisdom's got us nowhere. Let us follow and serve and focus on being led by the Lord. And there we will find our strengthening, and there we will find our peace. So let us this evening just remember The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches in his ways. And let's pray to the Lord to humble us this evening so that we can be led and guided by the Lord. Confidence in the Lord in the battles that we face. He is with us. He will strengthen us. We're in his hands, and he will guide us. Amen.